I believe God's fully able tonight, don't you?
Sure.
Would you say together with me, let not your heart be troubled.
Let not your heart be troubled.
Ye believe in God.
You believe in God.
Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you,
I will come again.
I will come again.
I will come again.
And receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Let's praise God for that tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, in your name. How we love the Lord tonight. And I want to see the Lord work tonight as only the Spirit of God can work.
Amen.
I can't save you. Not a one of us here can save you. But the Spirit that's in this service can save you tonight. Paul reminded the people in 2 Corinthians 3:3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God.
Right.
Not in tables of stone, but in the flesh lay tables of the heart. God can go where man cannot go. His Spirit can go into your heart tonight. Whatever is wrong in there, if it be a broken heart, a broken spirit, suicidal tendencies, despondency, discouragement, mental oppression, I'm here to tell you tonight, the Holy Ghost can walk the back roads of your mind and heart. If you'll just yield to that Spirit tonight, I promise you, you can leave here with a reason for living. You can leave here with a reason for living. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Everybody has their Bible, said amen.
Amen.
Those that do not, said amen. Let's turn tonight to the 12th chapter of the book of Mark. I want to read verse 29. We will be preaching tonight from Daniel 3. Now, I don't want you to relax. It's because we've had a good time, and you that's got a good blessing already, I don't want you just to say, well, I've got mine, you get yours. I want you to keep a spirit of worship about you. And let's just see if the Lord just might not fill somebody with the Holy Ghost right now. Who said we've got to wait till altar call? Peter preached, the Holy Ghost fell.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray God will work His will here tonight.
Hallelujah.
From the 12th chapter of Mark and verse 29, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. May I repeat that? The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. How many want to obey that tonight?
Bless God for it. Amen.
I'm going to preach tonight on a subject entitled A Resolution to Stand. Let's pray.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I'm concerned tonight with the attribute of courage. the backbone of determination, the face set like a flint, the set of the jaw, the square of the shoulder. I'm concerned tonight about who Jesus genuinely, authentically, really is. I'm concerned tonight with worship. The total kind of worship that involves the soul, the mind, the heart, and the strength.
Praise God.
I'm concerned tonight that regardless the way the world goes, we're going to be a bunch of God-fearing, Bible-believing, Jesus' name exalting, Holy Ghost worshiping, hand clapping, foot stomping, spirit singing group of people.
Sure.
I'm concerned with this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.
Amen.
That is a tremendous challenge issued to you and to me. God requires the composite of all that you possess. And God requires you to serve Him with every ounce of vigor and strength and intelligentsia that you possess in your heart tonight. Halfway will never do. We must be people who love Him from the bottom of our feet to the crown of our heads. And we must be determined to stand for Him regardless of the consequences. A resolution to stand. I believe in one God tonight.
One God.
Second chapter of James in 19 tells me, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I've never found a Trinitarian Jew or a Trinitarian devil or a Trinitarian demon. They all believe in one God. And I believe in one God. I know what His name is tonight. His name is Jesus. In the third chapter of the book of Daniel, I introduce to you Babylon, the mistress of the ancient world. About the year 606, she was at a crest of power. She ransacked Jerusalem under Nebuchadnezzar, took many captives and plundered the temple. And for 70 long years, she was the mistress of the ancient world. The king of Babylon was named Nebuchadnezzar. And in the third chapter of Daniel in verse 1, we are introduced to this king. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height thereof was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. I want you to notice an image of gold was made by a heathen king in a heathen land that believed in gods of wood, stone, and earth. A cubic, they say, is 18 inches in those days. If it was, this image stood 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, overladen with pure gold. He set it up in the province of Babylon, out there in the plain of Dura. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes and the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is given, O people, nations, and languages, that at the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, at the sound, the Bible said all the people, at the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, may I tell you this? This king possessed absolute dictatorial power. His word was law. His every will was a command. And when he gave the edict that everybody, when they heard the music play, was to bow on their faces before this image of gold, if you prized your head or your position or your family or your money or your life, you would fall down and you'd worship, because into the fiery furnace you would go if you did not worship. Let me tell you now, wherefore at that time certain of the Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews which thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I want you to notice these tattletales, these Chaldeans, these jealous men of position, when they looked out there on that plain of Dura, when all the crowds and their backs were bent before that God of gold, and they were bowing at the sound of the music. There was three men that were standing like tall oaks and like tall redwoods. They were standing with backs that would not bend. They were standing stiff and ramrod and straight. They would not bow and they would not bend before a God of wood or of earth, or this God of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had set up before all the people. So they told off on them to the king and said, you made a decree. These men do not regard thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and in his fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now at that time, when ye shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? What a confrontation. What a showdown at high noon. What a conflict. The raging tide of forces of evil face to
face with the forces of righteousness. Here we have Jews in a heathen land under a heathen king who is reigning in dictatorial power, but they still had something down deep inside them that had been instilled, indoctrinated, implanted, had been taught them. They were not to bow before a graven image or bow before a god of wood or of earth. You see, way back in their law, in the 20th chapter of Exodus and verse 3, it had already been written, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's what it said. That's what it said. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, nor in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." And in Exodus 34 and 17, it had been written, "Thou shalt not make thee molten gods." And God had warned Israel in the Bible in Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 14. He said, "Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around you, lest the anger of the Lord be kindled against thee, and he would consume thee from off the face of the earth." You see, this wasn't a wishy-washy take it or leave it type of a standard. This was something, no matter where they were, no matter what country they lived in whose house they were sleeping, or whose slaves they were, there was something down in their heart that had been put there that they would not bow, they would not worship before any god but the God that made the heavens and the earth. And when everybody else was a bowing down, those three Hebrew children, those three Hebrew boys were standing straight and tall. You said, "Well, why did you do that?" Nobody would take anything. You would have political expediency. I'm saying that there are principles that cannot be compromised on the altar of political expediency. I'm telling you, we've got precious doctrines and a precious name that were not to be worshipped not. "Ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." What was their answer before this king that had absolute life and death power in front of them? In verse 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner." Let me tell you, young people. Let me tell you, middle-aged people. Let me tell you, old people. There are certain things you don't need to pray about. You don't need to fast about. You don't even need to do nothing but just do what God said. You don't need to go ask a preacher. You don't need to ask your husband or ask your wife. Let me tell you, when God gives you something and you possess a revelation of who Jesus Christ is and the name of the Lord, then you must not compromise. You must not bend. You must not bow. No matter where you go, in whose lobby you stand in whose throne room you stand in, before magistrates or kings or emperors or governors or presidents, we're a one God people. We're a Jesus name people. We're a Holy Ghost people. We've got an identity. We've got to have a resolution to stand. I said stand at the school, at the courthouse, at the job, at work, at play. We've got to stand. Hallelujah! We are not careful to answer thee in this manner. Oh, a certain recklessness got a hold of them. In this day of don't rock the boat theology, and to get along, you go along theology. Thank God for some reckless Jews that'll say, I don't care what people think of me. I know who I believe. I know what his name is. And I'm going to stand for it wherever I go. We are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able. He's able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. And listen to me, King, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. What they were saying in reverse psychology is this: King, you may burn our bodies, you may scatter our ashes across the plain of Dura, you may lay us at the feet of your idol God, but God's going to deliver us out of your hand. You don't possess power over the soul, or power over the spirit, or power over the mind, or power over the heart. And we pledge to love God with our soul, and with our mind, and with our heart. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Everybody say, he's able. Oh, I love that. He is able. I don't serve a weak need, backboneless, spineless, emotionless, strengthless, worn out, dilapidated old fogey of a God with a long beard. He's a tripping over with hardening of the arteries and numbness of the brain and fog all in his mind. I don't serve that kind of God. He is able. He is able. Isn't that what Abraham said when God told him he was going to have a son? You read about it if you care to. In the 4th chapter of Romans in verse 23, the Bible said, wherefore he was fully persuaded that he is able to perform that which he had promised. I believe my God's able tonight. In Ephesians 3 and 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now let me ask you something, sleeping Pentecostals. Let me ask you, you that have not tapped the vast reservoir of divine strength and power, you that are going on your own understanding and trying to solve your problems with your own wisdom, there is a vast supply at the fingertips of every one God, Jesus name baptized, Holy Ghost filled saint of God. God is able. He's able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's what the Bible said in Philippians 3 and 21. He is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. I don't know what altar you're offering your incense at. I don't know at what shrine you're worshiping at tonight. But I'm here, you're looking at a one God preacher that believes in Jesus tonight. And I believe he's able. I believe he's able. I believe he's able. To keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. 2:18 of Hebrews. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able. 7:25 Hebrews. Wherefore he is able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Didn't Jude sign off with an apostolic flourish in verse 24? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I don't know what puny anemic, weak God, your servant tonight. But I know the God I serve, He's got all power in heaven and in earth. Every devil is subject to His name. Luke 10 and amen, verse 16. Sickness is subject to His name. You read about it in the 16th chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 16 through 18. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I believe devils are subject to that name tonight. I'm telling you, we have a God that is able. Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That took courage to make that statement. That took righteous fortitude. It's easy in the secret chamber or in the four walls of this service to jump up and say you love God and you're going to serve God and your Jesus name from the top of your head to the sole of your foot, and you believe that there's but one God, an indivisible God with one personality whose name is Jesus, and you believe in that. But it's quite another to go out in the four corners of the earth, out where the money changers and the commerce and the businessmen and the clink of the beer glass and the rattle of the dice and the shuffling of the cards and the roar of a basketball crowd and the pounding of horses' hooves down the straightaway of a racetrack, and with all the excitement in your brain, it's easy then to keep quiet and not let it be known where you're at, what you believe. But saints of God, we're strangers in a world tonight. We're pilgrims and we're strangers. And I say, wherever we go, wherever we make a living, let it be made known that we are not idol worshipers, but we worship Jesus tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking about a resolution to stand. Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast made up, which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage, which means his countenance or attitude, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times hotter, or 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's something about a man's ego, about a man's spirit. He doesn't like to be stood down. He doesn't like to be proven wrong. And this king couldn't stand it. Therefore, he said, you're going to go into the fire. And he commanded the furnace to be heated up 7 times more than it really ought to have been heated. And they heated it up. And the fire was belching out. And the furnace was red hot. And the roar of the flames and the billowing of the smoke, as that furnace got hotter than it was ever before. And the men that bound these Hebrew children, when they got close to that furnace, the tongues of flames were coming out so far from the door that they had to get closer to get them into the fire, that the tongues of flame got a hold of the men that bound the Hebrew children, and it consumed them, and they died on the spot. But they threw these Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and these three men fell down bound. These men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I want you to understand me tonight. when they got through in that furnace, they were prepared to die if possible. They had no guarantee they'd ever come out alive. But they loved their doctrine, and they loved their God, and they loved their standard, and they loved Judaism, and they loved the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they loved the God of Bethel, and they loved the God that made the path in the Red Sea, and they loved the God that brought down Jericho's walls, and they loved the God that slew Goliath through David, and they loved him so much they were willing to go into the furnace and into the fire and sacrifice their lives because they had a resolution to stand, to stand, to stand. How many of you tonight want that same kind of resolution? Would you be willing to suffer for the name of Jesus? I don't introduce to you tonight a Jesus that is simply a historical personage. He is not simply a figment of some man's imagination. I believe I can tell you, according to 1:23 of the book of Matthew, she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I read in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ. I hear Jesus say in John 14:9, he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I pick up Isaiah's writings in 9:6, and I read, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I read Jesus in John 10:30 saying, I and my Father are one. I read Jesus saying in 8:58 of John, before Abraham was, I am. I hear the Baptist John say in verse 15 of John chapter 1, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. I hear Paul saying in Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I read Paul saying again in Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were made by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I read it, friend, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and verse 14 said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I read it in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Who was? God was. I hear Jesus in John 8:24, except you believe I am he, ye shall die in your sins. I'm not preaching a Trinity. I'm not preaching a second person of a Godhead tonight. The one I'm preaching said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, the Almighty. I believe he is everything he said he was. Can you say amen to that? I read in the Bible in Isaiah 43:3, God said he was a Savior. Verse 11, I even am the Lord, beside me is no Savior. 45:21, Isaiah, God said there's no Savior but me. 13:4 of Hosea, God said, I'm the Savior. 3:4 of the book of Titus, good and acceptable in the sight. The Bible said after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared. First Timothy 4:10 said, "For therefore we both labor sub reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men." 2:3 of First Timothy said, "It's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." All these verses say God's the Savior, the so-called first person of the mythical Trinity. But along comes Jesus, the one I'm preaching to you tonight, the one I'm willing to go to a fiery stake to be burned, or a fiery furnace, the one I love with all my heart. Along come Jesus. And it was said of him in Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And the Bible in 2:13 of Titus, the Bible said, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." 3:6 of the book of Titus said, "Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." 1:15 of 1 Timothy said, the Bible said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." 19:10 of Luke, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." How many Saviors can there be? I submit to you, the one we preach to you called Jesus is Jehovah God, is the Father, He's the Son, He's the Holy Ghost. These three are three manifestations of one God. His name is one. His name is Jesus! Can you say praise the Lord? So we're willing to go to the fiery furnace. He possesses many titles. Father, Son, Holy Ghost are titles of this one God. Yes, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace are titles. You can read where He's called a child born, Isaiah 9:6. A son given, Isaiah 9:6. He's called Abba in Galatians 4:6. He's called abundant in goodness and truth. You can read that in Exodus 34:6. He's called admired, 2 Thessalonians 1:10. He's called Adonai, that is Lord, in Isaiah 42:8. He's called the advocate in 1 John 2:1. Yes, my friend, you can find out one of His titles is all in all in Colossians 3:11. Oh my goodness is another title He wears. You can read it in Exodus 33:19. He's called the Almighty in Revelation 1:8. The Almighty God in Genesis 17:1. He's called the Alpha and Omega in Revelation 22:13. Yes, brother, He's called the Altar in Hebrews 13:10. The Altogether Lovely in Song of Solomon 5:16. He is called the Amen in Revelation 3:14. He's called an Alien in Psalm 69:8. He's called in High Place in Psalms 9:9. He's called an Anchor of the Soul in Hebrews 6:19. Yes, my brother, He's called the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7:9. He's called an Angel. You can read about that in Acts 7:35. He's called the Angel of God in Acts 27:23. He's called the Angel which redeemed me from all evil in Genesis 48:16. He's called the Anointed in Psalms 2:2. He's called the Anointed with the Holy Ghost and power in Acts 10:38. He's called the Anointer in 2 Corinthians 1:21. He is called, my brother, yes He is, the Apostle in Hebrews 3:1. He is called, yes He is, the Apple Tree in Song of Solomon 2:3. He's called the Arm in Isaiah 40:10. He's called the Arm of His Strength, Isaiah 62:8. He's called the Arm of the Lord, Isaiah 53:1. He's called the Alpha and Omega. You can read about it. He's called the Author and Finisher of our faith in Hebrews 12:2. He's called the Author of your eternal salvation in Hebrews 5:8. Yes, brother, He's called the Avenger in 1 Thessalonians 4:6. And He's also called the Axe in Matthew 3:10. I haven't time to give you a verse for every one of these. But He's the Bali, the Babe, the Banner upon the High Mountains. He's the Baptizer with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's the Bear lying in wait. He's the Bear that is bereaved of her whelps. He's the beautiful and glorious. The beauty of holiness. The beginning and the ending. the begotten of the Father, the beloved of your souls, the beloved Son. He's called the blameless, the bishop. Yes, he's called the branch of righteousness, the branch of the Lord, the bread of God, the bread of life, the bread of sacrifice, the bread which came down from heaven. He is called the breaker. He's called the breath of the Almighty, the bridegroom, the bright and morning star, the brightness of the Father's glory, the brother, brother James, brother Judah, brother Joseph. He's called the brother of Simon, the breaker. He's called bruised for our iniquities. He's called the buckler, bucklered all them that trust in him, the builder of the temple. He's called the bundle of mud, the burner, burning coals of fire. By him all things consist. Now I just want to stop right there. I threw about 100 of them out there and about 60 references. You think I'm standing up here saying something that's not real? Brother, this is the God I love. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah! I'm going to stand for him. I'm going to stand for him. How about you tonight? Do you love his name? Do you love his name? Talk to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But brethren, I want to tell you tonight, the same God you love, we're loving tonight. And we know his salvation name. It's been revealed. His name is Jesus. And listen to me, Shadrach! Shadrach, we're willing to go to the same fiery furnace. We love the same God you love. We serve him tonight. Resolution to stand. Oh my God, we ought to thank the Lord we know who he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, the Nebuchadnezzars of this world are still mad. And we as the successors to these people who went before like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego must bear the same torch of indomitable courage, unflappable grace, unstoppable strength. We've got to plant our foot tonight and set our jaw. This is not a fly-by-night understanding. This is rooted in the very heart of God. We believe him tonight, and we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But Nebuchadnezzar couldn't stand it. He commanded the furnace to be made 7 times hotter than it was ever wont to be heated. And they threw these Hebrew children into the fire. And the soldiers that bound them and that threw them into the fire were consumed by the flame of the fire. And they died right there at the furnace door. And into the fire these children of Israel went. And while the flames were cackling, and the flames was roaring, and the smoke was bellowing, when this high drama, something happened. Into the midst of this intense feeling, something happened. The Bible said, then the king, then Nebuchadnezzar the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and spake unto the king, true, O king. Then he answered, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that just like Jesus? That Nebuchadnezzar couldn't believe his eyes. He said, tell me, am I seeing things? Didn't we just throw 3 men into that fire? That's right, King. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But he said, I don't, I don't understand. Lo, I see four men loose. Loose. Walking in the midst of the fire. Walking in the midst of the fire. I'm not trying to be excessively belligerent tonight, but I'm saying in the protection of the Holy Ghost and in the name of Jesus, come on, devil. Come on, persecution. Come on, sickness. Come on, discouragement. Come on, heartache. Come on, unbelief. I tell you, my God's able. Circumstances of life may put us in fiery furnaces, but the God we serve, He'll walk with you in the fire. Some of the most sweetest hours of fellowship I have ever had has been in the darkest hour. Some of the greatest blessings I've ever received has been in the deepest valley. I'm telling you tonight, He'll walk with you through the fire. Some of you that have danced out here because the music was fast and the beat was strong, you don't know what it means to dance till you get in the fire. And you dance in the fire. And you dance in the fire. You can come to church. You can come to church. You can come to church sick in body, but that's not going to hold you down. At the crack of the first song, you're like a racehorse off and running. Hallelujah! Did not we cast four, three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Yeah, anything you say, old boy. And he answered, lo, I see four men. One, two, hippity hoppity hip. Three, hippity hoppity hip. Four men loose. You think that we've let the horses run tonight? You wait till we get over yonder. You think you've been loose in the spirit tonight? Wait till all God's people get home. You think you felt something tonight? Wait till I look upon the face of Him that bought me and that shed His blood for me. You haven't heard singing yet. You haven't heard preaching yet. You haven't heard worship yet. When God's people get home. Hallelujah! Walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. Well, I don't see them going, oh, that hurts. Oh, oh, gotta stay moving in here or you burn. Oh, oh, oh. None of that. Just that cadence, the rhythmic beat of a made up mind. Around and around they went. Don't ask me what they sung, because I don't know. Don't ask me what was said, because I don't know. It's a private conversation. That's the reason we believe in the unknown tongue. You say, well, what you saying? None of your business. We're talking to Jesus. We've got fellowship. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad you got something you can feel tonight?
Yes. Yes.
And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Oh, where's that 90-foot tall statue of gold, Nebuchadnezzar? Well, all of that crowd, that very day, were out on the plain of Dura with their backs bent in political expediency. Nebuchadnezzar, before his very eyes, found out who God really was. Hallelujah. Brother, we've got a revelation tonight. Oh, I wish you knew the name of the God that we know tonight. His name is Jesus. We've been baptized in that name. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Amen.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. I know you're having a good time in there. But would you pretty please come out? I'll tell you, I don't know. I believe if it had been me, I'd have said, hey, King, you put us in here. Come in after us. But they didn't know it. See if you can walk in here. Yeah, that's the way the world is. That's what Pharaoh thought. He'd go through the Red Sea like the rest of them. Oh, let me tell you, I'm not preaching on this subject, but if you think you can put on this, if you think this is just a bunch of emotion, and you think we're just a crowd that got excited, you're crazy. You don't know what I know. You don't feel what I feel. No! Come on in! Come on in! Come on in! Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, which were gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no hurt. Oh, those political bigwigs, those bit in the back princes and governors and captains, counselors and sheriffs and treasurers and all the rulers of the government, because of expediency keeping their penny ante job, they bit down before a big old idol. And these three Hebrew children proved who God was. And these men of the realm collected at that walkway that came out of that furnace. And when they came out, they saw these men whose bodies had not been burned by the flame, nor a hair of their head was singed. Not a hair singed. Neither were their coats changed. Didn't even burn their jackets off of them. Didn't even burn the, whatever they call it, Hippenheimer, whatever that is, label out of their coats. Hallelujah. Didn't even burn old Jacob Steen out of their coats. Hallelujah. Oh, their coats were not changed. Neither had the smell of fire passed on them. You may tell you've ever had a fire in your home. You ever been anywhere where there was a fire? The smell lingers for months and months and months. But when these three Hebrew children come out, those old princes, hey, I don't smell any hair that's burned. They don't even have their coats burned off of their backs. And look at that. Well, they could sit down at a banquet right now. They don't smell like they've been burned. Isn't that just like Jesus? Isn't that just like Jesus? And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which hath sent his angel to deliver his servant that trusted in him, and hath changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Oh, I'm not trying to be cantankerous tonight, but I refuse to bow before the gods of materialism and worldliness and compromise. And I won't take this on and on, but we're going to hold to what the Bible said, aren't we? If you're going to preach, preach the Word of God, aren't we? We're going to find our baptism in the Bible, aren't we? We're going to find the name of our God in the Bible, aren't we? And we're going to sing songs that come out of the Bible, aren't we? And we're going to preach sermons that come out of the Bible, aren't we? And we're going to preach a name that we find in the Bible, aren't we? Yeah. Blessed be the God!
Blessed be the God
of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and tongue which shall speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no God that can deliver after this sort. Listen to me. Get out there and tear that big idol down. Burn it and melt it. There's no God like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A resolution to stand. I believe in my God tonight, don't you? Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What illustrious heroes we have to follow. A resolution to stand. Come on, Pentecostals. Come on, apostolics. We're going to stand together for Jesus. Let's stand right now. Praise the name of the Lord. Mine eyes have seen the glory. Oh, God. Can't you feel something here tonight? Loose the faithful lightning. March on, Shadrach! Sing it safe! March on, preacher! March on, evangelist! Sing it again with your hands raised! Time!